All right, you guys can all start turning to Genesis 1, though. That's Genesis, the first chapter. That's the first chapter of the Bible, even. So we've been going through our series on the names of God, and we've realized that there's something about names that just jumps out at you all the time now. I know it's been happening for me a lot. I learned this week that the state of Michigan has started naming their snowplow trucks. Michigan DOT, their snowplows have names, believe it or not. And these are some of the actual names that they are using. It's all recorded. I'll give you the site to look it up just to fact check me. So the first one is Darth Blader.
That's awesome.
There's Fast and Flurious. Flake Michigan. Frost Responder, Little Snow Peep, Sir Plows a Lot, and I don't know why this one made me chuckle more than the rest, I think, Hip Plow Potamus. Yes, those are actual names that they have on the Michigan.gov website of their snow plows. But there's actually a logical reason that they said for why they named them as well, though. They wanted to give the plows personality to let you realize that there is a person behind the wheel. There's an actual person that's in those snowplow trucks that they're big rigs. Randy drove a truck for a number of years for the county, I know. And just driving a plow down a county road, there's a lot that you can go off in a ditch real in a hurry. And they wanted you to be aware of that and think of the person in the snowplow as well, or in the snowplow truck as well. And I thought it was fitting for where we are discussing the names of God, that God's showing us His personality, His characteristics, the person that He is. And I know you guys are more aware of it as well because I got a text this week. And it was telling me, take a look at the Give Him 15 for today, because there was a name that Dutch Sheets was recognizing in something that God had showed him through a dream. And here's a quote from Dutch Sheets that I thought it hit me good and it resonated in my spirit, man. He said, "In biblical times, the meaning of an individual's name was important, often referring to a person's calling, nature, or some other identifiable characteristic. This is the reason that God has so many names and why He sometimes changed a person's name, as He did with Abraham." And myself, I would also add that He did it with anybody that He changes their names, whether it be Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, you name it. Saul to Paul. There's so many that God was showing that He had a specific calling for that person. And there was a marking of a change in that person from then on out. So a lot of times I take and I set up what happened right before what we're looking at before we get into the text. Well, this morning, guess what? There ain't a whole lot before what we're looking at. Because before what we're looking at this morning, all there was is God. So we're starting in verse 1. And we'll be here until we get through Revelation. No, we're not going to be. Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, let the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, and whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So the very first thing we see in the entire Bible, the very first sentence even, we see God. Now we're going back to English class, going back to grade school English here. And if you're like me, you may have just cringed because I did not care for the grammar. I did not care for the English, all the rules and that with it. Just give me the technical stuff. But we see some of the basics of storytelling here. When is it that we're talking about? In the beginning. We're looking at the moment time began. God existed before this, but time wasn't even around before the beginning. God is everlasting. He has no beginning. He has no end. Because he was here before time existed. In the beginning, God. God, of course, is the subject that we're talking about. He's what it's all about. The entire Bible is revealing God and his nature. He's there throughout it, and he continually pushes us back to him in his word. The name of God we're focusing on today is Elohim. Elohim is right there, and you can't even go five words into the Bible, and you find his name recorded for us to see. In the beginning, Elohim created. In the beginning, Elohim created. The action that he did is that he created. The very first thing we read is that he is a creative God. And you can keep reading on your own how God continues to create everything we see around us. Heaven, earth, light, the ground that we stand on, grass, flowers, grain, fruits, vegetables, stars, planets, the sun, the moon, you name it. Elohim created the seas, the animals in the seas. He created the birds, the animals on the land, the bugs even, everything. And then he made us, mankind, all of us that descended from Adam and Eve. Every single day, it says that God was pleased with his creation, and it was good. Now, I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I never saw anywhere that said that he said, that, oh, I made the mosquito, and oops, my bad. Now, I don't know the purpose of some of the things God made. That's one of them. I think some things that may have just been to get people like me on my toes to just realize that, nope, I don't have all the answers. I don't understand it all. Yep, there's some things I won't know on this side of heaven. I won't know on this side of eternity. But I'm going to be sure to ask one day. I'm sure there's some of those that I know, Ashley and I have had conversations about that with certain things where it's like, what? You ever wonder what God was thinking when he made this? But no, nothing that God made was a mistake. Every single thing that God made, he said, it is good. But then when Elohim got to mankind, he said, this is very good. Now the word here, very good, it means exactly what you might think. Looked up the Greek word used here, and it could have easily been used some of these other ways. It was greatly good. It was exceedingly good. It was mightily good. I'm constantly impressed at God's designing capabilities. Think about this. God only made man from dust once. He only made a woman from a rib one time. He only created the animals of the field once. He only created the plants once. He only created the fish once, birds once. But he was brilliant in the way he made it. He made everything with seed to produce after its own kind. Animals, plants, you name it. He made things to reproduce after their own kind. Cows reproduce cows. Chickens lay eggs that if they're fertilized, they can turn into baby chickens. God made us so that we could reproduce. The way he designed us, it's truly amazing when you start breaking it down, when you start looking at every single thing about our bodies. He made our bodies so that they form while we're still inside our mother's womb. He knows us when we're still in our mother's womb even too. He cares about us. He loves us so much, even before we're born, before we take our first breath. Elohim is our introductory name for God. It's the very first thing that we see God called. The very first thing that we see God doing is creating. He is our strong creator. The name Elohim, let's look at that for a minute here. El is the word for God, signifying strength, power, and might. Elohim is a plural word in the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew language, plurality adds emphasis. It adds weight. It's an exclamation mark, if you might add it. But also, the name Elohim being plural, it has a lot more to it as well. It shows the multidimensional aspect of God, the many aspects of God, the many attributes of God, the full depth of who God is. He's known by many names. He's omnipresent. And there's a lot of truth there with the being plural and the triune part of the Godhead as well. Genesis 1:6, it doesn't take long to start expanding that the name Elohim is plural. Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" In the name Elohim, we find that there's a relational part of the Godhead as well. That there's communication from Father to Son, Son to Father. We see the Godhead talking and them saying that let's make man in our image. They were talking amongst themselves. All these other things are great, but God wanted to do something even better. He wanted something that reflected him. He wanted something to have dominion over all this other creation that he had already created. He wanted to have something that would have that relational relationship with him as well. We already see that there's a relationship between the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. The disciple John also records creation, but in a slightly different way. He points to Jesus being exactly who Jesus claimed to be. And we see that he was in the beginning as well. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Elohim, the full Godhead, created. He created because He loves us. He designed it all the way He did because He cares for us so much. He wanted it to be self-perpetuating as we look to Him for how it happens. He wanted us to reflect and honor His nature. Likewise, Paul, when he was writing in the church in Colossae, he recognized this as well. Colossians 1 and verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son and His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things that were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence." I know that was a lot. But there's beauty in knowing that our Creator made us in His image, that He positioned us in Christ to be with God. And that because of God, that He is the one who created it all, He is the one who determines what we have dominion over. That since He created all things, the Elohim created everything, we have authority over every single one of those things. Now, I'm sure there's a logical question that a lot of you may be thinking. I know I wondered at one point. So if God created all of this in 7 days in Genesis, when were the angels created? I'm going to read Job 38, starting in verse 4, out of the Message paraphrase. "Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? How was the foundation poured? And who set its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in chorus, and all the angels shouted praise." So the angels were there when God created earth, when God spoke everything into existence. They were there cheering God on. They were there shouting for joy as God created all of this and getting more and more excited every single thing. He would make something else and they go, "Yeah!" He would make another thing, "Woo!" Even the fallen angels were around before God created the earth and everything in it. In fact, he had cast them down here into the darkness. Because remember, in Genesis 1 there, it was talking about how everything was dark and without void. It was a terrible place, and yet God wanted to redeem where he was even putting the fallen angels. Ultimately, God put us here, the ones that are made in his image, to have dominion over them. Ultimately, entrusting it to us to do as we hear from God, to operate out of obedience, using the authority that Jesus gives us, to be constantly in relationship with the Godhead. As we recognize God as our Creator, all the wonderful things he did when he created, we start seeing him in so much clarity. We start realizing his names reflect his nature. Romans 1, starting at verse 20, says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." God is eternal. God was here before time began. He created time for us. He's been revealing himself throughout the Bible. He reveals himself throughout our lives as well. Everything that God has made, you can see his fingerprints on it. You can see his signature saying that I made this. The name Elohim is used in over 2,000 verses in the Bible. So there might be something kind of important here. In Exodus 3, starting at verse 13, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What should I say to them?' Then God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God says to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God,'" that's Elohim, "'of your fathers, the God Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" God wants us to recognize this name. He wants us to realize that it's just as much for us today. It wasn't just for Adam and Eve. It wasn't just for the Jewish patriarchs. It continues on for today. God reveals himself to us. He's showing himself constantly. Our God, he is definitely a creative God. He creates things out of nothing. He creates miracles. Things that make no logical sense of how it could have happened any other way. Creation itself, creation of life itself, is a miracle. God created all the specific species. He created humans from dirt. He breathed life into us. He spoke everything into existence. The whole evolution theology doesn't make sense. How things adapted from one point to another. How they tried to trace everything back to some ooze that just randomly came together and then made some life form. And then things just kind of adapted or evolved from there. How we came from monkeys, it just doesn't add up. When you recognize that God is our creator, though, then it makes perfect sense. He's the one who created us specifically. He designed us to have bones in specific locations. He designed us to have bones that were appropriate length compared to other bones. He made us so that we had joints that moved in certain directions and not others. Then he put muscles and tendons around things to help make everything move. He designed us with a blood system to take oxygen and life and nutrients to everywhere in our body that needs it. That he added a brain to our bodies as a command center to tell everything how to operate. I don't think any of that makes sense to just happen randomly, to just evolve. It was somebody that was able to design it really well. That person is Elohim. And I've been seeing this constantly lately too, that we have to look past the natural when it comes to things. God just doesn't create what we see around us. He creates other things too. He creates open doors. He creates ways that there is no way. He makes opportunities that only make sense if His hand is on it. Diane just shared that this morning as well. We recognize that He is the one true God. So there is power in His name. We're made in His image. So we have that same power available to us as well. We have power in our words. We can speak life into situations. We speak healing into things that are broken. Don't underestimate the power of your words. The enemy must submit to our decrees. He must submit to our words. We're to be light into all situations, not darkness. God put all this here to remove that darkness. In all of our lives, there are situations that our attitudes and ultimately our words will steer situations. Don't believe me? If you're ever in a conversation and everybody's being negative, complaining about things, and you start saying something positive, don't underestimate the ability to change the entire conversations. You'd be surprised how much it'll stop the complaining. How much it'll silence people if you don't just go with the flow. You don't feed into the negativity. You start speaking positively, and people rethink their actions, rethink their attitudes, rethink their words. It starts changing them because of our words. We can watch what comes out of our mouths. We shouldn't be wishing or hoping for harm on anybody. We should be praying for hearts to be changed. You got something that you're upset with? Take it to God. He's really the only one that can do anything with it anyway. He wants to be the one to handle it. Don't let negativity breed negativity. As we already saw, God designed for things to reproduce after their own kind. Positivity will reproduce positivity. Negativity will reproduce negativity. So you reap what you sow. Sow what you want to get back. We can use the creative power of our tongues for building up or tearing down. But God's given us control over the words that come out of it. No one's responsible for what comes out of our mouth other than ourselves. Here's the beauty of it, though. God, Elohim, He is right there with us. He's omnipresent. He's always present. He's always with me. He's always with you. He's never absent. He's never distant. He is our loving Creator. He made man, and he said that it was very good. God was pleased with what he created. He made us with the ability to choose. He made us with the ability to have free will. He made us in the image of Elohim. Such a wonderful realization to have. He wants us to realize and remember him as the everlasting Creator. He wants us to remember him as Elohim. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your creation, God. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom in your creation, God. We thank you for the divine attributes that you showed us in your creation, God. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you created everything we see around us, God. Lord, we thank you that you created everything visible and invisible, God. Lord, that you are the one who set it all into motion, God. Lord, we thank you for the revelation, the wisdom that we are called by you, God, that we have a calling on our lives, Lord, to use the power that you have given us for your glory, God. Lord, help us recognize that as we go about our days. Help us realize how to walk that out, God. Lord, we thank you that you desire to have that relationship with us. Lord, that you have that desire for the relationship with us, that you guide us on how to go about everything, Lord. Lord, that you are right there, always willing to listen, God. Always willing to communicate with us, God. That you're always willing to tell us things, Lord, when we're seeking you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.